This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Numbers will soon be released that affect ARC County payments for farmers. Mark Schleusner with the National Ag Statistics Service for Illinois says those results will be published this Thursday. Surveys to gather planting intentions will soon be in the mail, and you can stop and visit with him at the Beef Expo this week.
That's right. We'll be finishing up some of our production estimates from 2016, last year's crop. We will be publishing county estimates for corn and soybeans, acreage yield and production. That'll be on Thursday the 23rd. And these county estimates will be used as part of the new farm bill in the ARC County program. So producers around the country will be getting a payment next fall, or perhaps not getting a payment next fall, based in part on these county estimates. So I encourage all producers to respond to Nash Yield surveys. They help determine what happens in the ARC County program. And I'd like to say thank you to all those producers that did respond to the Illinois surveys over the past winter.
If you could, just expand a little bit more on how those estimates affect the ARC payments, because farmers know what that is, but how do they use the numbers that you're receiving from these surveys? Maybe you could just go a little more in depth without getting too statistical, I guess.
I'll try to wade into the water and not dive too deeply. The 2014 Farm Bill has the ARC County program, which uses a five-year Olympic average of NAS county yields. So look at the last 5 years of county yields, throw out the high and the low, and that's the Olympic average. Do the same thing with a price component and use that in a calculation for each county that determines whether there will be an ARC County payment to the producers of crops in those counties.
And you can't do any of that without survey results and numbers.
That's right. The ARC County program relies heavily upon the NAS yield survey. So I encourage producers to respond to them. We must meet a statistical standard to publish in each county. We need to have at least 30 reports or at least 25% of the acres in that county from our survey responses. If we don't get enough responses, we are unable to publish an acreage yield and production for that county, and then the ARC County program will still go forward, but it will use some other way of estimating yield, and USDA has determined that the NAS yield surveys are the better choice.
Well, as we just said, it's important to respond to the surveys, and you're going to be asking farmers to respond again because another one is going to be sent in the mail shortly.
That's right. We're also now beginning to measure the 2017 crop production cycle. So soon we will mail out our planting intention survey. That's our March agricultural survey. With a March 1 reference date, we're asking producers, what do you intend to plant in terms of corn, soybeans, wheat? How many acres of hay do you intend to harvest in 2017? We'll also be asking producers and grain elevators about grains and oil seeds in storage. These statistics will all be published on the 31st of March, and they'll be a first look at acreage for 2017 crop season, as well as an ongoing quarterly supply of crops and oil seeds in grain storage.
Do those numbers affect anything with like the ARC payment program that we were just mentioning before? Are there any sorts of programs, or is this basically an informational survey and it just helps to gather the information?
Probably the most important thing in those surveys is that ongoing set of supply estimates for domestic production. That's what NAS does. And those domestic supply estimates will be combined with worldwide data, as well as data for demand and produce supply and demand tables, which will impact the futures prices for all the grains and oil seeds produced in Illinois and around the country.
Sure. Well, it makes perfect sense, and we will be looking for those to come through the mail and fill those out and return them. And also, we want to mention that you will be having a booth, I assume, at the Beef Expo.
That's right. I'll be setting up a booth on Thursday, the 23rd of February. I'll be at the Beef Expo Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Please drop by, and I'd be glad to see you.
And once again, that was Mark Schleusner, the Illinois State Statistician for NAS. In other news, work has started to remove asbestos from the long-abandoned former Pillsbury Mills plant in Springfield. The U.S. EPA crews have started a cleanup that's expected to take 6 months and cost $1.8 million. Generations of workers made a living at the plant where products were made such as Pillsbury Best Flour, Farina Health Bran, grits, and yellow corn meal. The 18-acre facility opened in 1929 and employed about 1,500 people at its peak just after World War II. The plant then closed in 2001. The site has been a frequent source of complaints to Springfield police, fire, and zoning officials, and the EPA intervened to reduce health and safety hazards that they say were getting worse because owners ignored legal efforts to force a proper cleanup. Looking at some national ag news, Mexico is turning its attention to South America, given uncertainty over U.S. President Donald Trump's trade policies. Mexico's agriculture minister last week announced that he would lead a business delegation to Argentina and Brazil to explore buying yellow corn from the two nations. The trip was attributed to an effort to consider lessening Mexico's dependence on the U.S., according to Reuters. Exact dates have yet to be set, but Mexico confirms the trip will happen within the next 20 days, and Mexico could explore quotas and changing the tariff regime for imports from South America if needed. The announcement follows a threat to retaliate against the U.S. by a Mexican senator who's considering legislation to direct the country not to buy corn from the United States. The threats stem from Mexico's opposition to a President Trump proposal to build a border wall and impose a 20% import tax on Mexican goods to cover the cost and the consideration of renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement. And some more national ag news. Farmers have filed a class action lawsuit against Monsanto over dicamba herbicide drift issues. The lawsuit focuses on the off-label use of dicamba that led to drift damage in 10 states last year. DTN says the new case, a class action suit filed in the U.S. District Court in Missouri, has two farmers from Missouri as lead plaintiffs. The lawsuit was filed by the same Missouri-based legal firm that also sued Monsanto over dicamba drift in November of 2016 on behalf of a Missouri fruit and row crop operation. Attorneys representing the farmers say they expect hundreds of farmers will eventually join the class action lawsuit. The lawsuit is open to farmers who experienced damage from illegal dicamba drift in 2016 from Alabama, Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. Illegal off-label, over-the-top use of Monsanto dicamba product led to drift damage to crops that were not tolerant to dicamba. The new lawsuit contends that Monsanto is responsible for the off-label dicamba use and damage. And one last thing this morning, the HSHS St. Francis Hospital Foundation is hosting a farm family event on Thursday, March 2nd. That's taking place at Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield. Health screenings will be offered starting at 7 a.m. and those run through 9 a.m. A hearty breakfast buffet will be served at 8 a.m. That will be followed by the keynote speaker, Bob Farmer, at 8:30, and it will wrap up with a market panel discussion at 10 a.m. If you'd like to participate in the health screenings, they do ask that you RSVP in advance, and also if you'd like to partake in the breakfast buffet. And you can RSVP by Monday, February 27th, by calling Megan Bertolino at 217-324-8206. And again, that is the HSHS St. Francis Hospital Foundation Farm Family Event taking place on Thursday, March 2nd in Litchfield at Lincoln Land Community College. And we'll have more on that event during today's noon farm show and tomorrow morning. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.